Okay, well, God bless you all in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, and welcome to Fellowship. And we're the 14th of November 2016. And, you know, but praise God, we've been saved by grace, not by works, lest any man should boast. And a lot of people use this in the wrong way because, you know, we're saved by God's favour. In other words, we couldn't save ourselves, so God sent Jesus Christ to pay the price for us, to fulfil the things that we couldn't fulfil. He fulfilled all the law, and through believing on him, we received eternal life. So we're saved by grace, not by works. But if we're truly going to move with God, then there's things that we have to do. There's things that are addressed to us today in the scriptures that are to the church today that we can do, so that we can be not conformed to this world, but we can conform to the word of God. And as we put these truths on in our hearts, and as we are obedient to apply them in our lives, okay, and look to live them from a pure heart, then God empowers that change within us. And if you go to Acts chapter 1, it says in verse 8, it says, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." So we received Holy Spirit, which is the power from on high. And this power is to change our lives around so that we can be witness and show forth Christ in our lives. See, that's what Christ needs to be living his life through us. And that happens as we put the truths of his word in our heart and as we walk in obedience to that truth. It's not just we do what we want because we're saved. And a lot of people have got this wrong mentality, and it's not bringing the power that truly can change them, because they've watered down the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And there is a life that we can live, because we need to be shining out amongst other people. Our lives need to be different from those that don't believe in God, that don't believe in Jesus Christ, right? So when we truly, from a pure heart, have received the word of God, we really want to live this word. And it says, "But you shall receive power." That's dunamis. That's the potential power. That power is activated in us. That gives us the ability to live the life that Christ lived. Okay, that's the power that we've got within us. And as we line our minds up with the truth of God's instruction to us today, then we can truly walk in that power. We can truly be those witnesses, all right, wherever we are and wherever we go. So Paul's life, if we look at the life of the Apostle Paul, okay, he became born again, and he changed 100% after being born again. He didn't stay the same. When you look at the life of the Apostle Paul before he got born again, he was very zealous for the law. He was very zealous to persecute the church of God. Okay, but he did it ignorantly. Okay, he thought he was doing God a service. But when he was confronted by the Lord Jesus Christ, when Ananias come in, laid his hands upon him so that he could receive his sight, and then he got born again, from that time, he was never the same man. In fact, he was a man after God's own heart. He learned from the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was his Lord. In other words, he was not the Lord of his life, but Jesus Christ was. And Jesus Christ showed him what to do. Jesus Christ showed him where to go. Jesus Christ showed him what to speak. And he didn't have respect to persons. Because if we're going to walk this walk with God, we can't have respect to persons. And we can't be going from teacher to teacher to teacher. It's like it says in Timothy that, you know, where people have itching ears, and they go from teacher to teacher to teacher. They want to learn this, they want to learn that. But they never come to a knowledge of the truth. They're forever learning, but never come to a knowledge of the truth. It's because they haven't applied and lived the things that they've been previously taught. Now, we've been blessed in our day and time that we've had wonderful teachers that have worked the word of God, that have rightly divided the word of God, that have lived it and endeavoured to live it to the best of their abilities. And we know that no man is perfect. People are going to make mistakes. And I tell you what, people will look at your mistakes quicker than any truth that comes out of your mouth. You could live your life perfectly as a believer and then make one mistake and then you're crucified for it. Right? Literally. So we've really got to be white as serpents and harmless as doves. We've really got to walk by this word, but we've got to know what the word of God says to us. Now I'm going to have a look at Galatians chapter 2, and we're going to see what Paul has to say in here. And Paul's given an example of his life. He's given a testament of who he is and how he's changed. And he's talking to the region of the Galatian believers, okay? And in verse 20 he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. He's saying, look, I'm alive, okay, but I'm not living it in my own strength or ability. But Christ liveth in me. In other words, Jesus Christ was his Lord, and Christ was the one that was directing him. And the life which I now live in the flesh, in the senses, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Right? He confessed Jesus Christ, must have confessed him as Lord daily, lived it daily, spoke it daily, thought about it daily. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, Jesus Christ laid down his life. It wasn't taken from him, he laid it down so that you and I could enjoy the same life that he lived, walking with the Father, declaring the truth, reconciling men and women back to God. Okay, so Paul is giving an example. He says, I am crucified with Christ. I've crucified my old man nature. Nevertheless, I live. I'm still alive. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. See, Christ needs to live his life through you, and he does that through your obedience, through your own free will, choice, and decision. Okay, and he can't do that when we water down his word to us, when we water down grace to us. Okay, because we are saved by grace, but there are certain things that we need to do to apply and live this word. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Verse 21, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness cometh by the law, living under the law of Moses, then Christ is dead in vain. See, righteousness couldn't come by the law. Okay, but it comes through faith of Jesus Christ. That wasn't available until Christ had accomplished everything. That he was crucified, that he was buried 3 days and 3 nights, that he rose again, and it was made available on that we could have this faith of Jesus Christ on the day of Pentecost when God poured out his Holy Spirit. And that is the power to change. See, we've been given Holy Spirit. We've been given dunamis, potential power. It's the power to change. And if we're still the same person after becoming born again, after many years, then something is seriously wrong. It's because we haven't put the truths of the word in our minds, and we haven't held them there, and we haven't applied it in our lives. So the great thing about this is that if you recognize this about yourself and you're really honest about it, you may have done in certain times, you may have walked really hot at one time, but then kind of got lazy on the truth, got lazy applying these things, suck back and think, well, I'm going to heaven anyway, I'm saved. Okay, and then you become cool. Okay, so when you first get born again, you're hot, you're on fire, aren't you? You want to change the world, you want to preach the gospel, you want to heal everyone, you want to see everyone saved. And after a certain time it comes down. It should never ever be that way. We should be as hot as when we first began, and hotter, because we're growing in those truths. We're growing in a living relationship with God and the Lord Jesus Christ, that we see the heart of the Father to us. And we can, when we get lazy with the truth, when we get lazy with the scriptures, when we get lazy working our minds of these wonderful truths to us of who we truly are today, because we are the light of this world. Okay, we are the salt of the earth. We are sons of God and daughters of God with power. We have authority. Okay, but how can you ever use this authority if it's not activated in your own life, if you're not really living by the power of God? No, Paul said, I didn't come to you with excellency of speech and with words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power. Paul saying, look, I don't want to know the speech of those, but the power. He wanted to see the power of God in Christ in them alive and living in their lives. And it wasn't. He was correcting the Corinthian church. He was directing to them. He wanted to see the power of God in Christ in them alive. He didn't want to know their speech, what they'd done, what they thought. He wanted to see the power of Christ living in them. He wanted to see that flesh crucified and Christ alive in them, that Christ was living his life through the believers. In Romans 6, if you go there, I'll give you time to go there. Romans chapter 6, because this is really great, and Paul explains all these things. He's talking to the believers. We got doctrine. The right doctrine is how to believe rightly, what we need to do. And in Romans chapter 6 and in verse 11, it starts off like this. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. How simple is that? Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies. Don't let it be no more. Stop sinning. Because why? You've got the power to overcome the things that hold you back. You've got the power to overcome the things that allow the enemy to come in to make rule and reign over your life. Alright? Because you've got Holy Spirit in you. You've got the truth of the Word of God. And all we need to do is reckon the old man dead and renew our minds according to what God says for us to do. To do those things that He wants us to do. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey its lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Because you are alive from the dead. You've got Holy Spirit in you. You've got eternal life. You've got Christ in you, the hope of glory. And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Look, we need to not. We are righteous, but we need to live righteously. You can't say you're such a wonderful believer if you know that you're righteous but you're living unrighteously. You're denying the faith. You're denying the thing that you proclaim and profess to understand. See, so you know you're righteous. Right means you're right before God, but then you live unrighteously. You're doing those things that are contrary to the Word of God. It's not going to release that power of God in your life. Okay, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. When you're under grace, when you're living in that grace, sin doesn't affect you. Right? You overcome that because you're living in the grace of God. But when you're trying to make yourself righteous, when you're trying to do the things in your own strength, you end up sinning. Right? Because you're doing it in your strength. That's why we got Holy Spirit, because we couldn't do it in our own effort or ability. We couldn't keep the laws of God in our own ability. We couldn't keep the things addressed to us today in our own ability, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, when we're lining those truths up in our minds, when we got a pure heart and we're ready to really do what God says us to do, then He empowers us. That's where the power comes out in your life. That's when the powers come out in your work. That's when you can truly have an effect and be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, that this power of God is living and real. That's the witness. Not just the speaking in tongues. It's got to be living in your life. People want to see a sermon, not hear one. And that's what we got to endeavour to do. Father, help me to live your word. Help me to apply these truths. Because we can't do it in our own strength. We might go so far in it. And then it becomes religious works. Verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. But you know what? Believers still do that. They know they're under grace and they sin. Well, I'm saved anyway. I'm going to heaven. I'm forgiven in Christ. I can do whatever I want. That's the wrong heart. That's the wrong attitude. And it doesn't release that power of God in your life. It isn't a witness. It isn't a blessing to the heart of God. It's taking His grace in vain. In other words, the grace of God to you is in vain. It's empty. Verse 16. Know you not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or the obedience unto righteousness. You see that? Obedience unto righteousness. Obedience to what? Obedience to the truth of the instructions of the word given to us today. And we need to know the scriptures to know what we've been instructed to do, so that we can do it from a pure heart, not out of fear, but because we're so thankful that we got eternal life. We're so thankful that we're saved by grace. That we didn't work for our salvation, that Jesus Christ accomplished it for us. We're so thankful that we've been forgiven, that we got eternal life, that we got access to the Father, that we are justified, that we are sanctified, that we are redeemed. See? So who are you going to serve? Sin or the Lord Jesus Christ? Know you not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey. So If you're going to obey the flesh, that's what you're going to serve. If you're going to obey God, that's who you're going to serve. Know you not to whom you yield yourself servants to obey? His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. The doctrine that was delivered to these guys, they've obeyed it from the heart. Not out of lip service, not with eyes to please men, doing it just to look, oh look, I'm doing this. But from the heart unto God. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. In other words, you're either a servant of sin or you're a servant of righteousness. It's very, very clear to me that. It explains itself. So who are you serving? Sin or righteousness? Who are you walking after? Sin or righteousness? Do you want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Then we've got to put the truth of the word on in our heart and let it transform us. As we make up our minds to be obedient, as we make up our minds to put the truth on the word on and live it, then God empowers it through the Holy Spirit in us so that we can do it. Can you see? That is how it works. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to read verse 16 and 17 in the King James Version. Verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, after the senses. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. They don't know him after the flesh now. Therefore, if any man or woman or child be in Christ, he is a new creation. He's a new creation, just like Paul. He got changed, he got Christ in him, and his life changed 100% around. Old things are passed away. Paul wasn't the one persecuting the church no more. He wasn't the one zealous for the law no more, as an example. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There should be new forms and attitudes developed within us. Christ is being formed within us as we put those truths on. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Okay, we got Christ in us. Okay, but we also need to be in Christ. There's two differences there. We got Christ in us, but to be in Christ is putting on the truth of the word of what he is saying to us today, of who we are, what we have, what we should do, what we should speak, how we should live, how we should conduct ourselves. Now, people will say, well, he's been a bit legalistic here, being a bit religious. No, I'm telling you the truth. I lie not. This is what the word of God says. And when we do that, old things pass away. Those old habits, those old attitudes, those old mindsets pass away. It doesn't happen overnight, but it's a progressive thing. As we faithfully, day by day, put the word of God in our hearts, as we're praying with our understanding, as we're speaking in tongues, as we're reading the word, as we're rightly dividing the word, behold, all things become new. See, and the point is, you may have teachers, and you may have pastors, and that you got the gift ministries, but you are still responsible to do your praying. The pastor don't pray for you, does he? For your daily needs. And you're still responsible to read the word for yourself. You're still responsible to find out those truths. There's promises in the word of God that are for us today, that we can claim as believers. But if you don't read your Bible, you're never going to find them out. You want to start finding them out. There's over 900 promises in the Bible to you today in Christ that you can claim in, for you. Romans chapter 12. And in first one it says, Paul says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. The mercies is the withholding of deserved wrath, the things that we should have received, but we didn't, because Jesus Christ stepped in for us. Mm-hmm. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know what a dead sacrifice is? Someone that is born again, but they haven't renewed their mind to the truth. They're not living the truth. There's nothing in their life that shows that they're a believer. There's nothing in their life that shows that Christ is living through their life. your body is a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Is there something you got to do there? Yes, it says, I beseech you therefore that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, pure, acceptable unto God, that we're walking in grace, we're walking in light, we're walking in truth, we're walking in love, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable for you to do this based upon God's mercies for you. And be not conformed to this world. Don't be fashioned like this world. Don't think like this world. Don't have this world's heart and attitudes. But I tell you what, if you're not getting into the word, that means the word's not getting into you. And you're going to be fashioned like this world even as a believer. But be ye transformed or transfigured by the renewing of your mind. Okay? You renew your mind. You put the truths on and God's empowering that by his spirit, and that you become renewed. That you may prove what is good. The word is good. And acceptable. The word acceptable. And perfect. The word is perfect. The will of God. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That we're pleasing to God. That he's blessed that we're following his instructions. That we're his children. Mm-hmm. He is our Father, and we're being obedient to our Father. To be careful to listen and to observe what he's saying to us. To carefully apply these truths in our life. You can't just haphazardly do it. You've got to observe. In other words, you've got to take notice. You've got to better check out what it is I need to be doing. And as you make up your heart and your mind to do these things, God empowers you and gives you the strength to do them. God empowers you to overcome those temptations, those weaknesses, those things in your life that hold you back. God empowers you through his Holy Spirit, because you've made up your mind that you're going to do his will from your heart. Colossians 2, verses chapter 6 and 7. See, these are instructions. And this is from Paul also. God working in Paul. And he could teach this. Why could he teach this? Because he lived it. Christ was living his life through Paul. And Christ should be living his life through and in us. Verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. How have we received him? We've received the gift of Holy Spirit. We've received the testimony of his word to us. So walk ye in him. Do what he's showing you to do. Because it's profitable for you. It's a blessing to your life. It will enrich you in every way. It will give you the right heart, the right mind, the right attitudes, the right actions, the right course to take. Rooted. Get yourself rooted in there. Let it take root in you. See, if you plant a seed and it doesn't take root, what happens? It grows up a certain way and dies. It's got to be rooted and built up in him. And established in the faith. Get yourself established in the faith. That if you are established in the faith, you will be unmovable no matter what comes against you. No matter if everything's going wrong, you are established in the faith that you're believing God. Because like if you look at the lives of the guys in Hebrews, they didn't have the faith of Jesus Christ, but they had to believe God. They literally believed what was told them and done it. Whether they saw the promise or not, they believed it was done. They went through some tough times. Rooted and built up and established in the faith, as you have been what? Taught. You've been taught well. You've been given the word of God. You've been given instruction. You need to follow the instructions. Is this is what you do. And when you do those things, then you're following that instruction. And God is empowering you and God is helping you to do them. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Thank you, God. I can speak in tongues. Thank you, I can read and study my word. Thank you that I can walk in love. Thank you that I can be a blessing. Thank you that I can preach your word. Thank you that I can minister with your power. Thank you, God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I love this. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. It says, you, this is what Paul is talking to the Corinthian church here, are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. An epistle is a letter, like the book of Galatians, like the book of Corinthians or Thessalonians. These are epistles. And Paul's saying, you are our epistles, written in our heart, known and read of all men. People should be able to read your life. They should be able to come close and from a distance and see Christ living in you. They've seen Christ living his life through you, that the power of God is being manifested in your life and affecting the life of other people. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of the heart. That Spirit of God is living in us so that we can be those living epistles, known and read of all men, that people can mark you out and they know that you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. They know that you are born again. They know that you live for the truth, you stand for the truth, you speak the truth. See, we are to be living epistles. And like I said, an epistle is a letter that is read by others. And we can tell if someone's living the word or not. See, the sign of our times are truly recorded in 2 Timothy 2. And this chapter is alive and well today, and we can see the traits alive and well. And as we separate truth from error, so our lives must separate from those who live life in the world today, live according to 2 Timothy. So if you go to 2 Timothy, and I really love this. It's really great. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to read from the King James Version, verses 1 through to 5. This know also, don't forget this is a letter from Paul to Timothy. This know also, so Paul, God by way of Paul wanted Timothy to know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. You know, like a mother's love to a child and a father's love to his child, that type of affection. Without natural affection. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, no self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now these words in 2, 3 and 4 and 5, you can look up yourself and get the meaning of them. So that would be a good word study for you. And this is the first I wanted to get to. It says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now I want to read the same chapter from the International Standard Version. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. It says, you must realize, however, that in the last days, difficult times will come. People will be lovers of themselves. Is that true today? Lovers of money. Is that true today? It's been true for all the generations, but it's getting more and more so. Boastful, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, unfeeling, uncooperative, slanderous, degenerate, brutal, hateful of what is good, traitors, reckless, conceited, and lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They will hold to an outward form of godliness, but deny the power. And that is very powerful. That's talking about people that profess to be believers. They show a form of godliness. They resemblance a form of godliness. So it looks good on the outside, but nothing's formed on the inside, because it hasn't been allowed to be formed within them, only on the outside. So they show an outward appearance of being a Christian, of being a believer, of being this and being that. But when you get up close and personal into life, it's not living there. There's no power there. And that's what they say. They have a formal godliness but deny the power thereof. There's no power in their life. There's no power in the church. Because a lot of believers are living this way. They have a form of godliness, but they're denying the power thereof. And when we're truly living like Paul lived his life, and that Christ lived his life through Paul, then we start seeing these wonderful signs, miracles, and wonders. We've seen healings, but what about the signs? What about the miracles? What about the wonders on a daily basis or on a basis where the need is? And there's many needs in this life today. And until we get serious about God, and we get serious about his word, and we get serious about really living it in our lives properly with a pure heart, then that power is going to be stifled. We don't want to have a form of godliness. A form of godliness is, well, I'm saved by grace, so I can go and get drunk. I'm saved by grace, well, I can be a homo or a lesbian. I'm saved by grace, I can go and murder because I'm still going to heaven. I'm saved by grace, I can smoke dope. I'm saved by grace, I can do whatever I want to do, and who are you to judge me? Who are you to point the finger at me? Well, I'm sorry, the Word of God's pointing this finger at you. Because the Word of God is pointing out these traits. And they've been there for all the generations. And it will continue to the very time that Christ comes. It'll intensify. These things will intensify and show up more and more and more within the church, as well as outside of the church. Right? God didn't write this Bible for unbelievers. He wrote it for the believers, so that we can be informed, not misinformed, that we can see the genuine fruit from the crooked fruit. All right? Because this form of godliness, it looks right on the outside, but you take a bite and there's nothing on the inside. There's nothing to sustain that person. And that's the kind of, we got to get disciplined in our lives. If we truly love God and we love Lord Jesus Christ and we love his word like we say we do, then we're going to conform to his word. We're going to let Christ be formed in us. Go to, I haven't got my Bible. Go to Galatians. I got my Bible. Let me just get there. Galatians chapter 4. And I love this. This is Paul. He says in verse 19, my little children. So Paul's endearing himself as a father to the Galatian church, right? Of whom I travail in birth. Again, until Christ be formed in you. See, he's saying until Christ is formed in us as we renew our minds to the truth, as we're being led by the Spirit, as we're obedient to do what God puts in our hearts as well as what he's shown us from the scriptures. I want to continue in this 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to jump down to verse 7. It says of these people, ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. They take this class, they take that class, they take this seminar, they go to this big concert, and they are forever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth because they only hear, they don't do. They don't apply those truths, they don't read the word, they don't allow God to show them and lead them. They're not humble. They've got their own religious system, which is empty. Verse 8, now as Janus and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. See, people resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. They haven't got a clue. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifested unto all men. It's going to be manifested. You'll get to know who these people are if you're endeavouring to walk by the Spirit, if you're endeavouring to live by the instructions given to us today. Because that's the works we do, right? We're not working for salvation, but we're living unto righteousness. That's godliness. Living the life that Christ lived, okay? Following those instructions, following the things that Paul has put out there in the church epistles. And then he goes on to say in verse 10, this is Paul to Timothy, but thou, Timothy, hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life. You know how, you know what I've taught you. You know how I live my life. My purpose, why I'm living. Christ is why he was living. You know my faith. You know the things I've gone through, the things I've suffered, the long suffering. You know my love of God towards people, in good and bad. You know my patience. You know my persecutions, my afflictions, which came to unto me at Antioch and at Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. But the great thing is, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. And if you will live righteously before God, if you will do those things that are right before his eyes, you know that you're saved, you know you've got eternal life, but you're going to line your life up with the truth of the word so it's living in you, that Christ is living his life through you. Yeah, then whatever you go through, the Lord will deliver you out of it. That's a promise. Like, we can see that in his life. God isn't a respecter of persons. If we hold respect to him and his word, he'll deliver us out of the same things or similar things. Verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You're going to suffer it. It says it there, right? Mm-hmm. Things are going to come up against you. Things are going to try and hinder you. We got an adversary, Satan. He's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to thwart the purposes of God. So we got to be aware of these things. Verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. They're not going to get any better deceiving and being deceived. But Timothy, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learnt them. You know where you got your teaching from. You've seen my life. You've seen my conduct. You see how God's delivered me. You follow the same way. That's what he's basically saying. Verse 15. And that from a child. Timothy, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? Verse 16. All scripture. There we go. Back to the word. Is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Now, that form of godliness really opened up something to me when I sat down and I was just praying, Father, what is this form? And it's like God just showed me like a walnut. You know, like a walnut or a conker shell, but there's no conker inside. It's not fully developed, so it's no good. If something isn't fully developed, it's no good. And Christ is being formed in us as we are renewing ourselves day by day with the truth of the word, as we are endeavouring to do what God shows us to do from a pure heart, not from a legalistic point of view, not trying to earn our salvation, but trying to live that righteous life, trying to live that godly life in all honesty. As we endeavour to do that, like I said, the power of the Holy Spirit is that power to change. God energises in it and he helps us. We are helped. We're not doing this on our own, because you can't change yourself on your own. You need Christ. We need Christ and we need God. We need that empowerment of the Holy Spirit to accomplish all these things. But what I got thinking of was fruit. A lot of people say, look at my fruit. They might have hundreds of followers. Or they might be really prosperous. Or they might be doing well in certain areas. Okay, but again, it's not the fruit that you can see. It's the fruit you can't see. And what I mean by that is, you may see from outward, oh, it's loads of people. But when you get up, what's inside? Is it bitter? Is it sweet? Is it true? Is it putrid? So it's not just the fruit that you can see, it's the fruit that you can't see. When you get in there and put it to the acid test of the word, does it stand? And if it stands, then that's genuine fruit. Matthew 7, 15 to 20. We'll go and look. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through to 20 says, Jesus said, beware of false prophets. So that's a good thing. Listen, beware of false prophets. How are you going to tell the difference? which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. So Elijah's mantle was a furry mantle, and the Pharisee's mantle was like a slick, nice cloth. Okay, looking good, so you could distinguish who they were. But a lot of people can copy them and put those same cloths on or the same mantle on and look like they're the part. But they're not the part. Can you see? Okay, but they are ravenous wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do man gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Jesus Christ, you're going to know them by their fruit. You're going to know them by what's inside. Okay? Not what's on the outside. Appearances can look good, but they can be deceiving. It's not until you get up close and personal that you put it to the acid test of the truth of the Word of God, then you can decide, okay, this is genuine fruit. Or something's not right here. Something is actually missing here. Right, there's growth, but what's going on? Why? Where's the love? Where's the joy? All right, let's go to Galatians. See, there's other fruit. This is the genuine fruit, I believe. Go to Galatians. Chapter 5. See, there's other fruit that we can test in the life of a believer. If someone is walking by the Spirit of God, if someone's living these things, this will truly be manifest in their life. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit. See, fruit of the Spirit is cultivated by walking by the Spirit, by living these truths, by walking by what God's shown you to do, by walking by the revelation of God's written word. And as you are led by the Spirit of God, this is what's produced in you. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. That is agape, the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation. Okay? Joy. Where's the joy? Where's the peace? Always look for the peace. These are fruits you can test. These are fruits you can look for. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, believing, genuine believing, meekness. They've got a meek and humble heart. They're temperance, which is self-control. Against such there is no law. You can't put no law on that because it comes from the Spirit and it is manifested. That's another fruit that you can see if it's genuine. If someone isn't loving, they're holding on the... Someone that walks in love holds the truth of the word. But there's also a gentleness and a kindness about that person to help that person gain the listener through their gentleness and their handling of the scriptures. Like when you look at Paul, he could be harsh with the people, but he wasn't. He was loving. And he wrote to him, I don't want to be harsh with you. No, I'm writing to you this way, but when I come to you, I want to be gentle. So, you know, we can look for traits in a believer. Where's the love? Where's the joy? Where's the peace? Where are these things? And that's an inside job. If that's not living on the life of a minister or a believer, then something is wrong. You can go by the fruit. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through to 15, we'll read. We're talking about false prophets, false apostles, deceitful workers. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through to 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Listen, for any lie to live, they've got to have an element of truth there. They've got to bring in some truth. All right, so there may be some things that someone's teaching that is really right on, but then teaching something completely different somewhere else, and it's with the wrong intentions and the wrong motive for money and stuff like this. Now, people have made a lot of money out of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but it's not really the gospel of Jesus Christ, because if it was, they wouldn't be making loads of money for themselves. That's another thing that you can test and see. Yes, God will prosper and bless his ministers and his people as they from a pure heart follow, but there'd be equality amongst the believers. But if one's getting rich and the others are staying poor, there's something wrong. You've got to look at it. You've got to look at what's being taught. You've got to look at the heart of it. And listen, I've been honest with you guys. To the best of my ability of working the scriptures and as a ministry, I've laid the things out for you. You have no excuses to be deceived. And also, you need to go and work this for yourself. There might have been something I've missed. There might have been something I haven't covered. There might have been something I've got wrong. So you are responsible to go and work the word for yourself. And don't just hear it, but be a doer of it. Let this truth live in you. It needs to live in you. Don't just hear it. It's no good if you just hear this tonight and you don't work it for yourself. You will be deceived, because there's plenty of people out there. That's why you've got all these different ministries. And I said last week about the Roman Catholic Church having 1.2 million. They have 1.2 billion people. So anyone can say, well, they must be right because they got through. No, they're not, are they? Go and look at what's inside. Okay? Is it a form of godliness? Does it deny the power of God? Because if you're walking by the Spirit and you're living by the Spirit, you're living truly, dealing truly, that power of God will be manifest in your life. You will have signs, miracles and wonders following you because you do believe. And there'll be genuine signs, miracles and wonders. They won't be false signs, miracles and wonders. Because the devil can also counterfeit as well. So that was my heart to you tonight. God really worked this in my heart. Really put these scriptures in my heart over since the last teaching, they were there dominant in my heart. And then I tried to avoid this subject, to be quite honest with you, because I didn't know if I was right or wrong. But then as I got more into it, God just helped me to put it all together. So guys, go and work it for yourself. There's many more scriptures, there's many more things to look at, there's many more things Paul exhorts. And if you read 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it's a follow-on from 2 Timothy chapter 3. Okay. If you want to get the context, you have to read 2 Timothy chapter 2. Alright, because it's preceding. So like if you go back up, I'll show you what I mean.
You say 2 Corinthians 3.
No, I meant 2 Timothy, Jason. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, it says, this know also. So it's telling you that he was saying some stuff before, right? Which is in chapter 2. So I encourage you to go and read 2 Timothy chapter 2 into chapter 3 to get the context, all right, what he's saying, and get the heart of what he's saying. Because in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he talks about, you know, those speaking vain words and janglings, and he talks about rightly dividing the word of truth. So if you read 2 Timothy chapter 2 into 2 Timothy chapter 3, you'll get a fuller understanding of why Paul was saying all these things. And the same is true today. Nothing's changed. If not, it's intensified. These things have intensified and they're manifesting themselves more and more of what Paul says about this know also in the last days perilous times should come. So God bless you.